We're in Perek Yud-Gimel of Negoim Mishnayis Dalet and Hay. Mishnah Dalet says, Bayis Hamusker Mitami Mitocho. We're going to explain this two different ways in a moment. V'hamuchlat Mitocho Mi'acharov. And the Muchlat on its inside and its outside. Now, the outside, we're talking about touching the wall of the house, because the other way it's going to be Tame, it's Maga, it's Betumis Maga. The vizeh mitamim bebia, both a bias musker and a bias muchlat, the person walks in rosho verubo, the brunt of his body and his head go into the house. Their person is mitam is tummy. So zeh vizeh, both a bias musker and a muchlat, if a person walks into the house, the majority of his body rosho verubo, then he's tummy. So let's go back to the first line. Bayis hamusker mitami mitocho. The Rav says, "Kedeksivi habol habayis kol yemei hisgiro so yitmo ad orev." So the Rav says we're talking about a case where he's walking into the house, and it's a little bit strange why at the end then he has to tell us again ziv zim mitami bebia. The Rambam explains like the Rav. And according to the Rav, dafka only with tumis bia, dafka tumis bia, if he walks into the house, majority of his body in the base mezuzah is mitame. If he sticks his hands in and touches the inside wall of the house, he's not tame. Now the Rav has an additional line, which the Rash also has, and the Tosafos Sim says comes from a Tosefta by a bias hamusker. There's one distinction. If the stones that had the nega on them are a filu b'musker, even in a musker, mitami miachrehim, or mitami certainly in the inside, but if he touches them on the outside, though he knows which stones had the nega on it, he touches that stone from the outside, then he's tummy. So there is a tumis maga by the stone itself, but not to the other walls, the non-contaminated walls, either in the inside or the outside, but just by touching it from the outside, according to, you know, sticking his hand inside and touching, according to the Rav. The Baal Tosfos Yom Tov, and the Tiferes Yisrael explains like this also, brings a Rashi in Yevamos, who says like this. First points out that Tosfos isn't clear about this, but Rashi is clear. The Tosfos quotes the Rashi differently, he says, than the Rashi that we have in our text. Rashi writes in the Reish of the Mishnah, and it fits better with the end, Ziv is mitami bebia, that both are mitami bebia, that the Reish is speaking about Beis HaMusker mitami mitocho, that if he sticks his hands in and touches a wall inside, he's tummy. Let me read what he says. Shekosav mitami misocho b'maga. If he reaches his hand and he touches the wall, b'maga, afal gad, lo nichnas gufo letocho. Even though gufo, meaning the majority of his body, rosho verubo, didn't go into the bayis musker, but he reached his hand and didn't touch it, levi tamim shum bola bayis. It's a new dimension of bola bayis, that with a combination of a part of a limb going in and touching the bayis, imnoga b'kosa metami, adkan, that's Rashi. And the Tosfos Yom Tov points out that the end of the Mishnah fits very well then. Bayis and Muska, we're talking about touching it from the inside. And Mimuchlat, either touching it from the inside or from the outside, and certainly going in. The Rav says, Mitochu Miachorov, Hanogeba Bayis Miachorov Tomeim, Mimuchlat Soras Mameris Bayis Tomehu, Matam Lomer Tomehu, Hosi Flow, Shehe Tome, the Torah is getting another dimension. Is Tome Ben Mitochu, Ben Miachorov. So he's whether he touches in the inside or in the outside, and certainly if he goes inside, he's tummy, because the Rav's whole sheet is even in bayis musker he has to go inside. So and then from the Rav it's not so clear why it repeats again ziv is mitami bebia, because that's what we're talking about. But according to Rashi, it's very good, because the bayis musker we're talking about where he simply touched it, stuck his hand in and touched the wool on the inside, and not the wool with the neg on it, just any wool in the house he touched on the inside. So we have two approaches to this Mishnah with a difference in halacha. According to Rashi, just touching the wool, even the bias musker, the nafkamin is by bias musker, touching the wool on the inside is enough to metame the person. And according to the Rav, no, he has to go into that bias, and the Rambam, he has to go into the bias of musker metame. But the Rav agrees that the stone itself that has a nega on it, even the bias musker is metame by touching it on the outside, so certainly on the inside also. If he just sticks his hand and touches it, because he certainly touched, it's no worse than touching it on the outside. That's Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Hay. Habona min hamusker. Now this Mishnah Hay, we had a comparable Mishnah in Perik Yuralov by Nige Begadim, where illegally or against the halacha, a person took from a beged that was musker. He took a piece of that beged and he used it as a patch in a tohardik beged. Mishnah Vav over there, and I think I explained to Rav when I did that Mishnah Ruah, I'm gonna have a chance to correct myself based on the Rav over here. It's much more clear over here. Now habona min hamusker. Here we're going to take a situation where a person is there's a bias musker, and the situation of the musker over here, the Rav and the Pharisees will explain the same way, that habona min hamusker betohar, into it took stones, the yachar shecholatz v'kotza betoch v'nosen lo shvua besochi me hezgero. So it's not the original week. It's after already a week went by and the color didn't go away. And there was a pisoyon. By the first week, it's only a pisoyon that's going to require a chalitz, a ksia, and ticho. If the color remains for 3 weeks, then it requires netitza. But after week there was pisoyon, so liachar shecholatz v'kotzo v'toch, after the first week or the second week, he had to take out a stone, and he had to peel away the area and fill in another stone and then mortar plaster over the area. V'nosen lo shvu b'sochim mehezgeru l'kach. So during that week of Hezger, whether it's the second week or the third week, someone came illegally and he took stones out of that house. So Obenotan b'bayisachir, and he used those stones to go and build another house. And then what happened? The Chozar. So again, the Mishnah starts Habona min hamusker b'tohar, into a toradika house. He took stones from a bias musker and he put into a toradika house. V'chozer nega l'bias, and now the nega comes back to the bias. Chazoras nega after the chalitza and the katsia and the ticha, etc. That requires netitza. V'chozer nega l'bias. So choletz es havonim, he has to those avonim are as to make tumadik as the as if they were still attached to the original house. So he has to take those stones out of the tahoridika house, out of the clean house in which he had built them, even though they have no nega on them themselves, and they require an netitza like the other house. If the nega comes onto the new the stones in the new house, onto those stones that were relocated into the Torah house, Chozer al Avonim. So a bayis rishon yinotates. The first house has to be destroyed, as if it was Chozer after the Hezger from the Chalitza, the Ketziah, and the Ticha. So that house has to be destroyed. The Chazor requires the Titzah, and now the Havonim Yishamshu as Abayis Hasheni B'Simonim. So the Rav explains Habayis Hamusker Yinotes. That's certainly Kilu Hayu Kavuim, but as if those stones were still attached to it. V'Hani Havonim Nami Bu Netitza. These stones ultimately have to be destroyed also. Elu Shemamtim Lohem However, we let them stay in the second house because now the second house, the Tovne Hezger, that house has a din of a house that first sees a nega, and there would be a hezger, and even though now if nothing happens and the house remains tar, disappears the nega, whatever. That would preserve the second house, the Torah Dika house. However, the Avonim would still have to be destroyed. They would have to be taken out and destroyed like the first house. If something does happen, however, then after the first week, they have to there's a pisoyon, and they have to do kitzia and ticha and. They have to remove the stones, etc. Then, in such a case, the first stones would be destroyed, and the second stones would, the second stones are taken out because that's where the pisoin, or if the pisoin occurred in other stones, those stones would require removal. And then you would see what would happen if the nega comes back to the Torah Dika house. Then it says destroyed. If it goes away or nothing happens, then it's if it gets dimmer, then it goes back to its Torah Dika state. If ultimately it remains, after Katsitsa, there's just the possibility of chazora. So if there's any chazora, the house is destroyed also. So that's what it means. If the nega from the first house now appears on these avonim that were inserted into the second house, the first house is to be destroyed, inotates, as if the house is is still attached to these stones. And the avonim yishamshu is the bais sheni b'simonim. So again, let me read the Rav again, and then I want to go back to the sixth parak. I think I explained the Rav wrong there. Behani havonim nami boi netitz. These stones that are now have the nega on them in the new house, ultimately required to be destroyed. Ela she mamtim lohem ashi yishamshu bais sheni b'simonim, until they serve the process of determining the status of the second house with their simonim, the Tovne Hezger. They require the second house to have hezger. V'dino l'kol davar k'kol bayis shnir bo nega b'tchula. The house itself is viewed as a house that first has a siman of nega, and requires hezger, and the whatever follows after the hezger, based upon what happens to the simanim. But in any event, even if the house is tar, those stones have to be destroyed. So at the end of Mishnah, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Vav, it says, "Atolam in Hamusk." If a person takes a patch from a bias of from a piece of cloth, a fabric that's musgur, and he puts it into a tahor, chozer hanega lebeged. If the nega comes back to the original beged, sorry for some matlis, the matlis, just like the regular beged, has to be destroyed. That patch has to be taken out of the Torah Dika beged and destroyed and burnt. Chozer le matlis, returns to the matlis, a beged arishin yisur. The first thing, the beged arishin is viewed, just as in this case by the house, so if it's still attached, so as the house is destroyed, the first beged is yisurev. The matlis, the matlis eventually has to be burnt. So let me read the Rav over here, because I'm pretty sure I got it wrong the last time. The Rav says, Yisurei famuzger b'kol mokom shehu kilu haiso chatikzu mechuberes bo chaticha mishamish abeged hasheni shehu mechuberes bo b'simonim shemazgir im habeged hasheni the dino shel sheni. You put away the beged hasheni with the patch on it, which came from the first house, and this is the case where the patch gets a nega. The dino shel sheni kilu hanega bo binli in hezger binli in the sreifa, but kibus kol davar liachar shimshu a beged hasheni. afilu holach haneged legamri min hachaticha ton shreifa. Even if the beged goes completely from the chaticha, but there were other simanim tuma after that first week in the. In the beged, there was pisoyon, let's say, away from another gris on that beged, after a week, and in the meantime the first chaticha, the matlis, is completely clean. Nevertheless, it was huskuk l'shreifa. That matlis has to be burned no matter what happens. If the beged is taradik, nothing happens to the beged. And they wait and they mask the beged, and there are no changes in the beged. The matlis, just like the stone in the case of the bayis tar, saying that matlis is niskak l'shreifa, no matter what, the matlis has to be taken out, even if the neged disappears from the matlis, and the new beged, Torah Dika beged, remains tahar, that matlis still has to be taken out and burnt. After you determine through Hezger that the Torah Dika Beged is not has no tumah on it, so no matter what, that matlis has to be burned, even if every siman of tumah was removed from it. The fact that already it had a dinner ready of tumah requiring sreifa gives it a requirement of being burned, like the original garment for which it came and which was burnt. So I believe I taught that Mishnah Vav wrong in Perek Yud Aleph, but now it's that's pshat, the exact same pshat over here. Just as these stones need netitsa, but they remain until the status of the clean house is determined, whether it becomes tameh, whether it's tahar, then they're taken out and they're destroyed. In either instance, there too, regardless of the status of the matlis of the fabric which the matlis was put, whether it becomes tahar or becomes tameh, after the hezger, the patch has to be taken out, the matlis has to be taken out and burned. And this is the end of Perek Yud Gimel Mishneh, and I corrected, I believe, the Mishnah there in Perek Yud Aleph.